Hi, folks. Welcome to today's podcast. And we are honored and privileged to have a special guest with us today, Kevin Williams, who is a triple franchisee with Chick-fil-A and is the author of the book Irrational Kindness is with us. Welcome to the podcast, Kevin.
Oh, gosh. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for taking time to connect with me today.
Well, let's jump right in. Give us some background on you being a triple franchisee of Chick-fil-A.
Well, I've been with Chick-fil-A for nearly 28 years, I guess. And I started out never thinking I would have more than one location. I was excited to have one location, and it wasn't even making a profit. So I was excited just to be a part of Chick-fil-A, be a part of owning my own restaurant. You know, I'd never really worked in a restaurant so much when I started with Chick-fil-A, but the idea of leading a team and partnering with Chick-fil-A that just seemed to have a different purpose about their business. When I was a teenager, I heard Truett Cathy speak for the first time, and I was blown away. I had an entrepreneurial spirit about me, having been involved in cutting grass and wanting to see an empire grow as a 12-year-old, thinking, wow, I could take this into something really big. But when I heard Truett Cathy speak as a teenager, I was inspired by this heart for competition of what he was doing. Yet he also had this love of people and this love of putting people first. And I just kind of connected with that and was inspired by that. So to be a part of Chick-fil-A as a franchisee really got me excited. And I've loved the journey.
Now, you begin this journey on the book here, by writing it as a handbook for your employees, but then decided to release it to the rest of us. How did that work out?
Well, Ed, I just sat there and saw this opportunity when I was doing what I have called a coffee with Kevin. It's a time for me to connect. It's my home to connect with every team member we have. So in this particular day that I was handing out a book, as I always did, of some of my favorite authors at the end of it, and I said, what if I told the things we're talking about here in this coffee with Kevin and put it down in paper, and was actually giving them a book to recap the things we're talking about. And the things I was talking about was not so much company policies, but really cheering them on their dreams. You know, seeing the person, the 16-year-old, the 20-year-old, the 25-year-old, the person that's working with saying, hey, you know, failure is a beautiful thing. I don't care what you've been told to see in the world. The failure is the beautiful thing. The way God created you is a beautiful thing. And he created you unique, and you're the only you in the world. And how can we lift that up? That's kindness to yourself when you start kind of bringing those different things in there. And then it also, the response can be kindness to other people, the way we're doing. So it started as that idea. What if I did that and started telling a story? You know, I've never thought I would write a book, but, you know, and when I think of these big dreams and these things I want to do in life, I have to kind of sometimes take the big dream and then I back it up and say, what would it look like in a different level? And so I would say, I want to write a book, but then I said, well, I can go to Office Max and copy some paper, some 10 pieces of paper together, staple them together, and I got a book. So I wasn't going to be stopped by the fact that our dreams are really big. I find a lot of joy, and it's a lot of what we talk about in the book and in these sessions I would talk about, is just the joy is in the journey. And, you know, it's a renewal of the mind to remind ourselves that the joy is in today. You know, the past is history. The future is unknown, but we have today. And when we tackle these big things or thoughts we have or what we want to do with our life, I find, you know, oftentimes it's redirecting it back to what's my next step and find that beauty of that moment.
You, many times as, you know, just people going about our business, we hear the word irrational, and maybe has a more of a negative connotation than a positive. But in the book, you teach that it's a great thing to be irrational. How does that work?
Well, Jesus was really irrational. I mean, you know, I think they thought he was going to come in a stallion and a sword, and he came on a donkey, and he started teaching, hey, love your enemy. first. You know, these things that were just took a different slant, and in today's world, oftentimes can seem irrational. You know, confusion. You know, but when you start looking at this, take uncertainty, for instance. Uncertainty can be a chance to dream. Can it? It's like confusion can be, hey, let me just find my next step. And that's a lot of failure becomes that opportunity. And it's all these different things that when we start having this perspective, you know, I love Truett Cathy. I talked about him when he came to speak as I was a teenager. It was when I started reflecting back. He was 64 when I was hearing him talk. Wow. I mean, here you think you got to have oftentimes you think you got to have the world crushed by the time you're 27. You got to have 30,000 followers. You got to have a job that you absolutely love and it's what you're going to do the rest of your life. You know, this irrational thing is a change in perspective to say, you know, maybe you're just getting started. I'm 53 now. I start looking at Truett Cathy, who was 64, and I'm like, wow, I'm really just getting started in a journey, because a lot of it's just that opportunity to look at things differently. And I think that's the perspective that I know I'm after, and that was led in an irrational savior that kind of came and did things a little differently.
Share with us what it takes on looking outside the box and thinking outside the box and being irrational.
Well, that's a great question. And thinking outside the box, I love the spirit of freedom and freestyle. I call it freestyling. You know, surfers are great freestylers in the way they're surfing away, catching it at the right moment. But, you know, we sometimes believe we've got to have this perfect path, or that we don't have, you know, we're stuck where we're at. Maybe you're stuck in a job that you don't like, or you're stuck in a relationship that you kind of just not going where you want to, or maybe your resources you just don't have. This idea to freestyle is one of those where you can think outside the box. If you begin to say, I'm going to look up. One of the things I do that helps me kind of see what you're talking about outside the box is to look up. Sometimes I've been known to stare at my problems or stare at my things that I can't control that feel like woe is me. And I stare at those and I keep trying to fix them. But I find I'll actually pick my chin up and put it towards the sky and just take a deep breath in through your nose and then exhale out of your mouth and just start seeking a different perspective in life and a different view. And you know what I discover oftentimes? I discover time is different. Maybe that time horizon I'm looking at can be totally different. Or also I see a people that I can bring in my life that can add that positivity or that thing that could really help move me along. Or I see a direction that I could go into where maybe before I didn't see it. Or I see a God that loves me, that puts me in perspective to, you know, hey, I got this. This is here's where I'm at. I'm this person right here, but I got a God who designed me, and maybe I can be brave and courageous enough to take that step. And I think that's what a lot of it is, realizing, hey, here's my inventory of what I got, and how can I use those for a certain perspective. I often say, you know, 80% of my time is spinning plates. I don't know about you. It's like being a dad and a husband and a work and things like that. Those are just normal. I mean, we've got normal things that just we're spending time on as a human when you have a job and you're trying to make a difference. But there's 20% that if you'll find it, and it's going to require you to make some tough decisions, probably stop doing something that maybe is maybe good, but maybe something that I don't want that's not adding that value to myself, that I can carve out that 20% time to look at things in a different way, to dream a little bigger, to be a little more courageous, and think of some things differently.
Going in a little bit different direction here for just a second, as you were talking about kindness and those types of things, what timing for your book in an era where kindness isn't always top on people's priority list? Talk about that for a second.
No, you don't have to. You know, I said this book is about hope and encouragement. if you're looking for a book to beat you down, you can just turn on the news and you're taken care of, right?
There you go.
You don't need more. The world's full of people that can beat you down and things that can be negative. But you know what? I can't solve all those things. But what I can solve is where I'm spending my mind and my time. You know, I have vaccine's out. It's a great thing. But I don't have a vaccine that's going to help redirect my mind. It's not just a one-time shot. It's like brushing your teeth. You don't just brush your teeth today and you're good. You don't have to do it ever again. It's this renewal of the mind and coming up with things that are going to help you renew your mind on a regular basis. And those can be many different ways that you can do that. I mean, I love a devotion in the morning or cutting the TV off at night and spending some time in. The idea of surfing. I'm not a surfer, but I love a surfing magazine. It gets my brain in a different tone. And so I can sit there at night before I go to bed and think of some different things. One of the great things I love to do, and you can go to discount magazines and you can get any kind of magazine that you want. And they're very cheap on there. And you can get a different magazine subscription each year to something that's just kind of different, that sends your mind in a different way and allows your creativity to come and change a lot of the things that you're doing. But you're talking about that, how to, you know, the beat down you can get of negativity. But, you know, being in the food business, I like a health inspector, and being a connoisseur of great restaurants and going out to eat, I like to know those places people those restaurants have a health inspector,
right,
that critiques them and judges them. But you know what me and you don't have to be? We don't have to be health inspectors for everybody in the world. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go and give plus and check marks to everybody. Sometimes you can favor understanding versus being understood and just accepting of what things are. And it doesn't mean you're sticking your head in the sand or getting run over. It simply means you're being kind. And I don't find any contradiction to my values or things to simply try and understand where somebody's coming from, or just to, you know, cheer them on their race versus feeling like I've got to go convince them of my race. And it takes it's a kindness step to yourself, because it kind of takes it back and say, you know what, how am I going to be the best me today that I can be? Versus trying to feel like I got to change everybody else. And that changes the way that, and I believe it's how we can change the world.
This is Jonathan Cain from Journey, and you're listening to Pastor Ed Boston on the Pastor Ed Boston podcast.
What kind of difference have you seen in your business with sharing kindness with the customers?
Well, I know when I go somewhere, I'm paying some of my hard value money, earned money to somebody. I love when they see me as a person. Don't you? I just love when they see me as a person and not as a transaction. And the fast food business is very transactional, and it's very fast. And we're, you know, trying to move people in and out in a quick fashion. But you know what? It costs no more money for me to sit there and take time and to see the person across the counter. Because oftentimes, they're not coming there necessarily to eat. You know, the word restaurant comes from restoration. It's a place to restore. And maybe it's the food they're eating to make sure it's done right. But I think also it's the time to get a smile, to be served by somebody, to have somebody see the person across the counter realizing, hey, that person I'm serving that maybe seems distracted or has a frown, maybe they just came back from the hospital where they just received some bad news of a relative for themselves. Or maybe their child is acting a different way than they want them to go. Or maybe their relationship is just not in the right frame of mind. Or maybe they have found out something that they lost their job or whatever the struggle is. When I can see that person say, you know what, I'm there to lift that person up, it changes something about me, and it changes a job. When you can get a 16-year-old to connect that, hey, we all need a paycheck, but the way I'm interacting with that guest changes me, because it makes my job, while I'm there to get a paycheck, seem different because of the way I'm interacting with my guests, and it makes all the difference in the world.
We're talking with Kevin Williams, who is the author of Irrational Kindness. Kevin is a triple franchisee with Chick-fil-A. And again, I was sitting here thinking as you were talking, I looked down at the clock and time has flown by here. And it seems to do that when you're positive. You're talking about happy things and positive things, and all of a sudden time just goes by. And I don't know, we seem to spend so much time on negatives. We just went through a presidential election where I would say unlike any that I've ever seen. 2001 was pretty, or 2000 was pretty, pretty different in that aspect as well. But when we spend time in positives versus negatives, how do you think that affects the outlook that others have on us?
Well, first of all, if faith is important to you, mm-hmm. I think it's everything. I think, you know, the God challenges us to visualize, be bold in our request, be, you know, I try and visualize what's going to happen and what the blessing's going to be. But that doesn't mean I'm sitting there, you know, waiting on it. I'm going to continue working mm-hmm. hard. I know that God's got a plan. The thing, whatever happens to along the way, is the journey. And you know, I believe in a thing called wabi-sabi. Have you ever heard of wabi-sabi?
I have not.
It's the beauty of the imperfect. It's just saying, you know, I'm okay the way God made me. And I believe he made you and me just perfect. Mm. The beauty of the imperfect is the way the we're responding to the world to realize, hey, you know, that wonky way we feel, that anxiety I feel, the way I wake up and just feel like one day I feel like I got it all together. The next day I wake up, I'm like, what in the world am I even doing? I don't even know what I'm doing. That little wonkiness can be beauty. If you see a cracked vase that has been kind of put back together, sometimes that art is a beautiful thing. You can actually put a price tag on it. It could, you know, it's sold out on the auction for some crazy amount because it's all of a sudden beauty in a different form of fashion. I think that's what we're doing to ourselves when we're being positive and looking at the world in a different light. We're saying, you know, the wonkiness, the way I feel, struggle with, hey, I'm going to sit in that. I'm not trying to mask over I don't want to be somebody I'm not. I'm not looking to be, I want to be vulnerable and courageous in the way I feel, but I'm also not going to sit in the woe is me. I'm going to move forward and see that there's positive things to move hopeful things to move in for. Move towards, and they're all over the place. People are doing amazing things all over the place, and we're all just alike and in so many ways. And just don't let that newscast that tells you otherwise be that's not your sounding board.
Yeah.
You got a Father in heaven that's just cheering you on big time. And let's just keep taking the next steps together. And I hope that's what this book does. I hope if you need some hope and encouragement, that's what it is. It's just hope and encouragement that, hey, things can feel wonky. You can have deformities. You can have a lot of challenges, but we're in it together. And what are we going to lead with today to renew our minds? And what are we going to use to put in front of us?
Well, I was going to ask what you hope people took away from the book, and you just said hope and encouragement.
Yeah, hope and encouragement. I mean, we all need that, and I hope that it inspires you to think a little differently. I hope that, you know, again, I'm not a guy that's got it all figured out. I'm a guy on the journey with you. Mm-hmm. So we're right there together. I tell the story how, you know, from my own personal musical experience where I stink at music, but I can play the guitar, and I know five chords, and all I can do is strum them up and down. But you know what I found one day is when I started strumming, when I was trying to copy everybody else's music, I was really bad. I'm like, it sounds nothing like the other those musician songs. But what I found was I could start kind of putting some chords together and writing my own songs and writing my own stories. And when I started doing that, hey, that sounded pretty good. That's just me singing about my dog or me singing about, you know, the troubles in life. And all of a sudden, these little chords could really tell a story. And I found that's the beautiful thing about music. You know, you only need three good chords and you can write a beautiful song. Tom Petty's Free Falling, which I love, is three chords. It's the simplest song to play. But here's the lesson. What chords are we going to use in our life? And how are we going to put those together to create a beautiful life song? And I hope this book helps explore a few of those. Maybe persistence is one. You just view persistence a little differently. And you improvement, the continuous improvement, you view that a little differently, not as a negative, but as a wonderful positive. You know, you can view the way God, the wonky things about you, or maybe the way kindness works towards others, and you view those things differently and decide what's going to be your, what chords are you going to play to write your life song. And that's my encouragement to myself every day is what chords am I going to use today to write this beautiful song today? And I think through that, we start to see a different outlook and cheer each other on. You can do it in the fast food business as a waffle fry cook is what I say. Then we can pretty much do it every way because that's not an easy job and that's not an easy thing. But when we learn to do that, boy, it changes everything.
Amen. That is good. Tell us where we can find out more about you and how we can grab a copy of the book. After that, I'll say a word of prayer with you.
That'd be great, but you can get it. You can check out irrationalkindness.com. Mm-hmm. We went from Atlanta to New York. We stopped in every city along the way, dispensing some acts of kindness and partnering with some of our friends just to foster kindness. You can go check that out as we go to the Irrational Kindness tour under that and check it out. But you can get the book on any places books are sold, Amazon, Walmart. Anywhere books are sold online. And just thanks so much, Ed, for what you're doing and lifting up others and lifting up the stories that really can inspire us all to see the world in a different light.
Thank you. And on a side note here, you kind of aged both of us a little bit there when you talked about Tom Petty and Free Falling. That's not one of the a recent hit or anything right there.
No, but there's all kinds of songs. You can probably go find other songs with two chords. But you're right. I stick with my little lane, and sometimes I have to remind myself, you know, not everybody knows Tom Petty. But if you don't, then you just should.
Yeah,
that should be a requirement.
Google Tom Petty.
Free Falling. You're guaranteed to love it.
I went to see.
Money back guaranteed.
I went to see Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers on the Damn the Torpedoes tour when I was in high school.
Oh, gosh, what a classic, huh? Oh, man, I love it.
So, see, we talk about a lot of things, but you can never tell what you're going to hear on the Ed Boston podcast. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Oh, gosh, give me that. What an album.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes, let me pray with you. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, and we thank you for the time we've got to spend with Kevin. We ask your blessings upon his book, Irrational Kindness. And Father, what a concept in 2021 when so many things are negative and so many people are negative and rude and kindness. We look in God's word and we see that Jesus showed kindness. Jesus reached out to the lost. He didn't just have a clique of people. He had a group that he traveled with, but he reached out to the lost and the sinners. And so the kindness that Jesus showed, I'm sure, is exactly what Kevin wants us to understand in his book. Thank you for his life, Kevin's life, his work there with Chick-fil-A, his Christian beliefs and principles that he lives upon. I pray for his family, all of the folks that are in his employee, Father. I just thank you for the opportunity to share with Kevin. And Father, just bless him today. Thank you for blessing us with the time we spent together. And we lift all of this up in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.